The Terry and Jesse Show, two Catholics with PhDs in common sense. This is where we engage the culture of death with prayer, fasting, and full contact Catholicism. We don't shadow box here.
Nope.
No, we strike to win, as St. Paul says. Terry, I'm on duty. What about you?
I'm on duty, Jess. I'm always pumped up. Whenever we can get Father Frank Pavone to talk to us on our show, I get excited because this is a man who's dedicated for the unborn children of the world. And so we'll be talking to him. We've got Gary, our very own Gary Machuda, talking about his new book called Revolt Against Reality. I've got some good news stories. We got to keep the fight going, Jess. This is a pro-life nurse. She was fired for refusing to cooperate with abortion, and she gets fired, right? Well, she goes to court and she wins her battle. She's got her benefits back, her job back. This is why we can't stop swinging the bat for Jesus. We got to stand up for life and this vaccine mandates and all that. We can't just say, okay, we have to fight it until the end. And so I just think that we've got a great show that should help you continue to battle against evil. And before we do all
Terry,
of that.
Terry, by the way, there's good news happened all over the country.
I want to hear another good news. Yeah.
All over the country, and all these little races, attorney generals, yeah. Even in Virginia.
Right.
The state of Virginia, the state was flipped, Terry. From
yeah, I heard her,
last night.
Her speech was awesome.
Entirely flipped.
Yes.
Many other little races across the country, yeah. But you don't hear much about attorney generals, district chairmen and just local districts. They've all flipped, Harry, from blue to red. And there's still, again, there's still probably some funny stuff going on in New Jersey, but that doesn't surprise me because that's a hard blue-red state. So that wouldn't be hard to flip, although the guy came very close.
But you know what?
Citrelli, I think.
Jesse, that was supposed to be a landslide in favor of a liberal. And the very fact that...
And it wasn't.
No, it was within 1%.
It went into the late rounds, as they say in boxing.
Yeah. So I think America's waking up, and that's what our show's all about. Wake up, and smell the coffee, or they say, but wake up because Jesus is coming. And what I mean by that is every single one of us, Jesus is coming, because at the time of our death, our particular judgment, we are going to be having our exit interview. So let's be prepared. That's what we do here. Hey, Jess, before you do the gospel, I really think that's the best part of our show. I've got a little quote also from Fulton Sheen. I got some people who have asked us to continue to promote this spiritual warfare conference. We're getting lots of people calling about it. And we'll talk later about that too. But it's just, if you go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio, you can hear about all the things we're doing. And I just want to thank everybody. Jesse, I'm going to make it public right now. You know this because Jesse is my compadre, as they say.
Yep.
We just hired a engineer, full-time engineer for Virgin Most Powerful Radio,
praise
folks.
Praise the Lord.
Now, it's going to be expensive. He starts the first of the year, so I'm doing fundraising. And I said to all of our monthly donors, if you guys could become, like the monthly donors could up their $10, $15, $20 a month, I could pay that salary. Now, we spent almost 4 years with a part-time engineer. Those days are gone, Jess, as you know. We need somebody here full-time. So I'm asking our listeners right now, you can call us at 877-526-2151 or go online and say, I want to be a monthly donor. I want to increase my monthly donor because I want to see Virgin Most Powerful get to the next level. And we can't do that without a full-time engineer. No radio operation can do it without that. So that's all. I wanted to make that pitch. Let's get the best of the, which is the soul food. Yes, I'm all ears.
Good call, Terry. Good job.
Well, you were part of that call, brother. You know that.
Yeah. Today's gospel, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10.
I love the end of it. Go ahead.
Yes, and this gives us a hope.
Yes.
No matter how poorly you start at the race, what matters is how strong you finish.
Amen.
Luke 15, 1 to 10. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain. Okay, that's the establishment right there, buddy. Mm-hmm. Okay, saying, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus addresses parable to them. And what's a parable? In the Hebrew culture, a parable is a story that a prophet relays when the establishment, the authority's gone corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Jesus addressed this parable to them. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she recalls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost. In the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Here's two things I want to say about today's gospel reading. Number one, sometimes Protestants will say, well, why do you guys pray to the saints? They don't know what's going on in heaven. Well, today's gospel says quite the difference. Yep. Yeah, it says, Jesus says, I tell you in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven. Who's in heaven? Saints and angels. Over one sinner who repents. Where's the sinner repenting? On earth. Ah, so somebody who repents on earth, that is known to the angels and saints in heaven. How? By God's divine permission. That's how. Because God permits it. So this verse shows that the saints in heaven, unlike what Protestants like Jack Chick-track say, why do you pray to saints? They don't know what's going on earth. You know, that they're not omniscient or omnipresent or omniscient. Well, the Bible just tells us right how they do it. They do it by divine permission. God allows the saints and angels in heaven to know what's happening to those here on earth in the church militant. And the last thing that I will mention just on this entire gospel, Terry, is this entire gospel screams the divine mercy of St. Faustina.
Oh, yeah.
Screams it. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I have seen some websites that are what I would call on the extreme right. And they'll say, oh, we don't like St. Faustina's writings because she talks too much about mercy, mercy, mercy. Well, guess what? Our Lord Jesus Christ talks about mercy. This is a classic example of the divine mercy of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? I'm going to leave you 99 pretty good people here, sons and daughters. Stay here. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get that one wretched sinner. That's about as divine mercy as you can get. Terry, take it away.
Well said. And Jesse, the last part I really do like. It says, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One of the things that I get, Jesse, I really do on a supernatural level too. When I hear somebody who tells me their conversion story, it always brings joy to my heart. And I think of that verse that they were sinners and they came back to their faith. They came back to the sacraments. And I always think about that there will be rejoicing among the angels of heaven. And I always tell them that you're making the angels jump in joy. So keep them coming, man. That's what we're all about here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jess, let's bring the smartest guy into the room right now, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And he says this, we can lose our souls not only by doing evil, you know, like killing unborn babies or participating in that, but also by neglecting the good. See, what Bishop Sheen is talking about, Jess, is sins of omission. As a father, you and I have a responsibility. When our kids were young, I still have a responsibility. My kids, I still tell them straight up when they come to me about things. If I see that they're doing something stupid or wrong, I still,
yeah.
No, right. They know, Dad, I know what you're going to say. Yeah, but that's okay. But here's my point. If we as fathers, earthly fathers, have that responsibility with our children, how much more are spiritual leaders in the church? Now, Jess and I are going out to Baltimore to pray for our bishops. And we have a strong message for the bishops as lay people. And that is, you know what? You need to stand up to the errors of our time and speak the truth. So Fulton Sheen said it that way. He's just echoing what other saints have said. Saint Pope Felix III said, not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect the confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. So what am I saying, Jess? It would be a sin for me not to tell my kids to correct them if they're in error.
That's
right. And it's the same thing as a priest, bishop, cardinal, pope. None of us gets out of that. As a matter of fact, the responsibility goes up. I would say this, Jess. The responsibility I have for my kids is very important, right? But if you're a priest, a bishop, cardinal, a pope, Now you're a spiritual father to a flock, not just a, you know, six or seven kids. So I think the responsibility goes up. That's my point on that, Jess.
You're absolutely right. And this is very serious, because if you want to save your soul, the best way to do it is James 5:19-20.
There you go.
Remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. This is why Terry and me have been promoting evangelization for decades.
Yep.
This is the way, number one, to save others and get them to heaven by turning them to the fullness of faith in Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church, and also save your own soul. Evangelization properly done without watering it down.
Yeah.
Is a win-win situation for the evangelizer and the evangelizee.
I got some good news that came across my table here. Quebec backed down on vaccine mandates for healthcare workers after massive resistance. Yes.
Wow.
See, Jesse, we have to stand up to this. And people up in Canada, I want to say kudos to the folks up in Canada for standing up to the government on this vaccine mandate. God love them. Hey, when we come back, our very own Gary Matuta. We're going to talk about his new book, Revolt Against Reality. What's that all about? When you come back, you're going to find out about Gary Matuta. He has his own show here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Don't turn that dial. We'll be back. Stay with us, family. You're going to be inspired by listening to what Gary has to share with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
The Terry and Jesse Show. We've got our own version of Catholic Answers here. He's a one-man show. His name's Gary Matuta, hands-on apologetics. This guy, I consider this guy literally, he's a sensei of Catholic apologetics. A sensei means he's a master instructor in the Catholic art of self-defense. Gary, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I feel like I've been promoted to the big leagues.
Gary, we're just honored to have you with us at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We love, it wasn't that long ago you came out to our center and gave some talks and had other books of yours that you have published. And I just think it's great that you're coming out with a new book called Revolt Against Reality. And so what I'd like to do is encourage people to go to Catholic Answer Press. Catholic Answers is the publisher of the book, and get the book. But tell us why you wrote the book.
Yeah, well, essentially, a couple of years ago, and this is a couple of years ago, things are crazy. And I thought, there's got to be causes underneath this. So I started my little project where, instead of trying to guess, you know, what would be the causal links to this, I just took what was going on that in the craziness today, looked back for its causes, and kind of traced backwards through history. And what I found is that there are these lines of thought that have been going on for centuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Aquinas says that a little error at the beginning causes a major error at the end.
Amen.
And so, you know, the revolt against reality we have right now was just the end point of a long stream of revolts against the incarnation and against God himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why you call the book Fighting the Foes of Sanity, From the Serpent to the State. So we got a twofold weapon. We got the serpent, who's the basically the invisible enemy of every single Catholic Christian. And then the serpent uses politics or the state, and the state could become rogue and start persecuting people. So there's a twofold fight here. So, Gary, how did the serpent's lie back in the garden play into the insanity that we have today, that we see in the streets and in the courts and with a lot of politicians?
Yeah, you know, if you look closely at the serpent's lie, what you find out is that lurking behind it, he does something very subtle. He divorces what God is, which is goodness itself, from God's will. Mm. Okay, so the serpent says that, you know, God isn't really looking out for you. What he's afraid of is if you eat the fruit, then you'll be like him, and you could determine for yourself what is good and evil. And so the separation of who God is, goodness itself, versus his will, that God can will whatever he wants, including whether it's not good for Adam and Eve, that kind of flows through history. And, you know, after the incarnation, the great unifying event in human history, you have this kind of pushback by human beings through various heresies, especially like in Islam. I got focused on Islam, where when Islam encounters Greek philosophy, one of the ways in which they try to deal with it is they have this idea that Allah's will is not constrained by his nature. Mm-hmm. So Allah can will whatever he wants. He can call something just, and then later on he could call it unjust. Because, you know, Allah can to say Allah has to act good would make goodness a kind of law over Allah. And so that actually transfers into Europe, and especially under the form of nominalism. And I know you guys know that because that was a major philosophical school that Luther imbibed. And so it's through Protestantism we have this nominalistic, voluntaristic idea of God. And all you have to do is, if you trace history further, it just gets personalized, right? So essentially, if God can will whatever he wants, call whatever he wants good or evil, ultimately it comes down to us because we image God that we worship, you know? So if you worship the nominalist God, it comes down to us to determine what is reality. And you see this a lot with, you know, sexual identity stuff, that if I identify as a man or a woman, I could be a woman, or, you know, it's all about like what I will it to be rather than what it is. And of course, I think the biggest divorce of reality is, of course, calling an innocent unborn baby.
Absolutely.
You know, a part of a body or something like that, because it, like the Supreme Court's rulings show, you know, it's ultimately the court says that a woman could determine for herself whether the baby's human or not.
We're talking to Gary Machuda. His new book is called Revolt Against Reality, Fighting the Foes of Sanity from the Serpent to the State. It's put out by Catholic Answers Press. And Gary just gave a masterful explanation right now, masterful, about the major error that disconnects God's nature, what he is, from his will, who he is, and the way this has affected human history. That was a masterful explanation. You can get this and so much more in his new book, Revolt Against Reality, Fighting the Foes of Sanity from the Serpent to the State. So, Gary, how did Vatican II destroy the Protestant identity?
Yeah, this is something that I haven't seen anywhere else. But, you know, with Martin Luther, there's two basic principles. There's the righteous rebel, which for Protestants, this is like emblematic of how they ought to be, that they should stand up for whatever is righteous, even if it means going against the historic church. So you have the righteous rebel, and then alongside that, you have this quest for doctrinal purity. Okay. And so those two facets tear apart Protestantism into many denominations, because a lot of people thought Luther's doctrine wasn't pure enough. And so as a righteous rebel, they separated. Well, ultimately, you know, this idea of the great foe. In fact, you guys are old. I mean, you guys are veterans like me in apologetics. You know, we used to joke about the one unifying thing that unifies all Protestant beliefs is the papacy and the church, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that was the only thing everybody agrees on.
Yeah.
Well, then Vatican II comes along, and, you know, there's no anathemas. Pope Paul VI isn't an imperial pope. And I think what happened is the righteous rebel now doesn't have a cause, right? It's hard to say Vatican II is this great foe that Protestants have to go against. And what I think what happened was, with that identity, if you identify yourself with a struggle, that who you are is the struggle you're engaging in, once that foe goes, you can't declare victory, because that makes you obsolete, just like you can't declare defeat either. So another foe had to be sought. So what I think happened was, in the 60s, there was this transformation within Protestantism of the righteous rebel, but now it's social purity. Okay. So nominalism now kind of seeps into the secular sphere. And so we just have unending battles about trying to achieve the most pure, you know, social structure we can. And that just is just an endless treadmill of one issue to another issue to another issue.
Gary, I want to encourage people, especially college age students, mom and dad who have their kids in college, this is an essential read for them because they're being inundated with a lot of garbage. I'm sorry for the French, but it's garbage. It's not truth. And it seems to me like this book would be really valuable. Am I onto something for young people that are in college?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's basically a human history in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I start with the garden.
Yeah.
I end up with today.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gary, absolutely. Okay.
Gary, I've heard it said that Protestantism, again, the whole Protestant movement here in the United States was started with the inception of the country. It's because they have no unifying principle except for their vitriol against the papacy and the historic church, and because they can't agree amongst themselves, little by little, not only did they fall into nominalism at the time of Luther, but now as a result of so many denominations and the failure to unify on what is truth, they've now given a secular humanism. And this is what we're seeing all over the high schools and the colleges. It's because these were once Protestant schools. It was a Protestant education where the King James Bible was brought into these schools. The U.S. Supreme Court threw that out in 1961. But would you say that, kind of following that linear way of thinking, that the Protestant identity has also, in some way, shape, or form, has given us what we call today modern secular humanism?
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, Jesse, because I think that's exactly what happened. And so now you have the secular sphere has now become a kind of religion for a lot of people, you know, where there's certain dogmas that you can't transgress and there's censorship and, you know, blasphemy for going against social norms. So, yeah, I think that's a great summary.
Just a quick note, I also noticed with Protestantism that morality changes as the weather, and it comes, it goes. And so it seems to me that our young people, especially in older people, need to have grounding. And this is what your book can give people, the grounding that the Catholic Church offers. So I really want to encourage folks to go to Catholic Answers Press to get the book. Gary, any final thoughts about your book? Why people need to, you know, what else is in the book that's really essential?
Yeah, well, it's if you're wondering why things are crazy today, I think at least I give it my idea what it is.
Sure.
So you'll have a roadmap. And also I end the book with Reality Strikes Back, where I highlight some ways in which, you know, reality is kind of pushing it back. And I guess the final thing I'd leave is,
sure,
listen, we're on the winning side.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Is reality. He is the root of reality.
Good point.
And, you know, if we weather the storm and we're faithful to Christ, ultimately, we have the victory.
Amen, Gary.
Amen.
Gary Machuda, his book, Revolt Against Reality, Catholic Press, Catholic Answers. Go to Catholic Answers for all kinds of good resources, folks. Gary, you also have a show. Tell us a little bit about your show for those who are listening on the East Coast that don't hear it. Well, tell us a little bit, because they can get it by our app going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Tell us what you do on the radio here every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, before the dojo, there was the Lord's Gym. So you guys were my heroes. Basically, we dive into looking at apologetics, especially on the hands-on level.
Yes.
I bring in some of the best apologists around, people that you normally don't hear about but are really experts in fields. And we just dive deep into apologetics for a whole hour.
And you're on right before the Terry and Jesse Show, Monday through Friday on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. If you're not hearing this on your station, go to vmpr.org, download our free app, and you can start listening to Gary's shows. I guarantee you, you're going to learn a lot. Gary, one of your listeners just asked me, I need questions about justification. So we have, you know, a little, giving them just scripture verses. And of course, listen to Gary Machuda's Practical Apologetics and get on board. But so many people have questions about apologetics. It's defending the faith. And I think Gary has an excellent show that teaches people the fundamentals of the faith so that you're a high information Catholic. As a matter of fact, that's what brought Jesse back to the church, apologetics. Is that a fair statement, Jesse?
Absolutely. Gary, how many books do you have on apologetics? And give us a give. How many books have you got?
I'm not sure. I think it's around seven.
Okay.
There, eight. Maybe.
Well,
I lost count.
All right, Gary. Well, we appreciate that. Go to Catholic Answers Press. And you can pick up his new book, Revolt Against Reality. We have our next guest, Father Frank Pavone from Priest for Life, joining us in a minute. Gary, thanks again, and God love you, brother. Keep up good work.
Thanks, fellas.
Stay with us, family. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. We've got Father Frank Pavone on the road. He's waiting to call. We're waiting for him to call in just right now. Oh, we got Father Frank. Well, Father Frank Pavone for Priest for Life, welcome again to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Yes, indeed. This is the place to be.
Amen, Father. We're just so happy to have you come and join us at least once a month. And I mean that because I want people to understand the most important work. And St. John Paul II said it to you, that you're doing the most important work on the earth, saving babies through, you know, through preventing abortion. So I just want to welcome you. And Jess and I are here to ask you some questions about the latest. Go ahead, Jess.
Father, give us kind of the pulse, the temperature of the country in light of last night
in Virginia. In Virginia,
many other states around the country, little small offices, attorney generals were flipped.
Oh, gosh.
Tell us what's the layout of the land right now as unelected Joe Biden is he losing popularity?
You think?
You know, I think that this election of the day before yesterday is like I think of it as the first fruits, you know, as a biblical concept of the first fruits. You know, they always had, the Lord always instructed his people, you know, as soon as the grain comes about or the grapes or the, you know, the various kinds of offerings, bring the first of the fruits to the Lord as an offering. And it's a sign of more to come.
Yeah.
And so this is a series of victories that is a first fruits of what's going to happen in the midterm elections. And there's two dimensions to it. One is that normally, in normal political times, the midterm election after the White House changes hands is bad for the party in power. And that's always been, you know, the pattern in American politics. But this time, added to that, is this unusual degree to which the Democrats have gone extreme and just gone off the rails. They're going crazy. Yeah. And people don't like it. Independents don't like it. A lot of Democrats don't like it. This is the first time the election is the first time that the voters really had a chance to exercise some real political power to get these people out of office. And they did it. I mean, we see the victories in school boards across the country. Of course, they're sick of this critical race theory.
Oh, yeah.
We see the victory in, of course, the Virginia, the governor's race, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general. We saw the victories in, of course, New Jersey, way closer than anyone expected with that. We see it in the state legislatures in New Jersey and in Virginia. And we saw it in Pennsylvania, where all kinds of pro-life judges were elected. In fact, the pro-life judges that were endorsed by the Right to Life groups all won their seats.
Yeah.
So it's a sign of things to come. It's a sign of a lot of discontent in the country. And, you know, it's also a pro-life sign because, you know, in the Virginia race, for example, Terry McAuliffe made abortion an issue in his campaign, and he unapologetically said that he was not in favor of any limits. And Glenn Youngkin, to his credit, shot right back at that, and he put out a campaign ad called No Limit. And he said, you know, this guy doesn't even want to protect babies born alive, as we've discussed often on this program.
Yeah.
You know, he showed that it's a winning issue. It is a winning issue. Get out there and beat the pro-life drum, so to speak.
Yep. Well,
you know, I think he could be used as a template. The way he ran his campaign for other conservatives and patriot Republicans around the country, they just have to see the way he took on the issues and he prioritized them. One of the things that I think that upset most people around the country, the mama bears came out. Again, when you're talking about reprogramming somebody's kid in public school. This is this is what raised the hair in the back of the neck of a lot of these moms around the country. Not even many Black Americans are for this critical race theory. Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State, and she's also the current director of the Hoover Institution. The other day she was on The View with the several radical feminist women that run that show. And Condoleezza Rice, she gave them a mouthful during an interview.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, she basically gave them the smackdown.
That's right.
Condoleezza Rice, she's saying that, this doesn't make Black people feel empowered. In fact, it makes them feel disempowered. So that's good. The fact that she was on such a program that has such a high profile. And so I just want to congratulate all the people that trusted on the pro-life ethic, and they won big races last night, Father.
Yeah, they did. They did. It was a great. It's the beginning of a red wave. And there's no question about it. And like I say, next year in the midterms, I think we're going to see, historic victories for the Republicans. I mean, between now and then, they got to make sure not to mess things up.
That's right.
But the direction of the country is favoring them.
Father, go ahead, Jesse. Go ahead.
If you want to know the big difference, think about this, Father. You were there and I was there. We were involved in it. The difference between unelected Joe Biden and Donald Trump, our former president, Trump, he ran on defunding Planned Parenthood. Biden has run on defunding the police. What a contrast in values.
Isn't that right? That's right.
Well, here's one more.
American people want law and order.
Here's one more contrast from President Trump and President Biden. President Trump, he says, when we see the image of a baby in the womb, we glimpse the majesty of God's creation. Father Frank, when I read that, I thought it was some bishop that said that. I thought some priest, or maybe it was Father Frank Pavone that said that. No, seriously, you remember that time he said that? Because that I got the quote right in front of me. See, this is what we're hoping for, and I'm just being honest right now. We see right now President Biden doing everything in the opposite for life. He's funding everything he can to the Hyde Amendment, to get rid of that. He's doing everything to help kill more babies in America. And one of the things I want to shift gears to is what's happening. Well, in December, we've got the Mississippi case coming up, but we also have good news. And this, I want to just ask your comment about the heartbeat law in Texas. We got a report here on my desk here that 50% less abortions have been taking place in Texas. That means thousands of babies have been born since that law has been taken into effect. So I want to praise the Lord for that. But I also want to ask you, what's up next with the Supreme Court? Because they seem to be, having more discussions about pro-life efforts.
They are. Well, the big thing.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Is this Mississippi case?
Mm-hmm.
And what they are considering in that case?
Yes.
Is very simply this question: is it unconstitutional for states to protect babies by banning abortion prior to viability? And the reason that they frame the question that way is that Mississippi's law protects these babies prior to viability. They do so at 15 weeks into the pregnancy, which is 13 weeks after fertilization. And the courts have said, and the district court said in this case, that, well, because it's before viability, we cannot uphold this law, and we're not even going to listen to any of the other arguments that you're making. Because Mississippi made some good arguments that, look, things have changed since Roe v. Wade. We know more about the baby.
Exactly.
We know more about how abortion harms women.
Right.
Things have changed.
Sure.
But the court didn't even want to listen to those arguments, the lower court, because they said, oh, but it's before viability. So now the Supreme Court is willing to consider the question. Is it unconstitutional if you protect these babies before viability? And of course, it's almost like a ridiculous question.
Yeah,
like, where in the Constitution is there anything about viability? And where in the Constitution is there anything about abortion?
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
No.
So we're very hopeful that this case will really give the states a lot more authority to, well, they already have the authority, will recognize that authority to protect these unborn babies.
So would that mean, Father, just to follow up on that, that would mean states like Texas and Florida and other pro-life states would ban abortion and people in those states would not be paying for killing the future citizens of their state. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's right. It would enable the states to do so if they want. And there's a lot of different things that the court could say.
Yes.
But you know, what's encouraging about the way they frame the question is that unless the court wants to be continue to be a legislature in regard to abortion, because that's what's happened now.
Yeah.
They're not going to be drawing other lines. You know, Roe v. Wade made the court into a legislature, and here they are setting public policy on abortion,
horrible,
drawing all these artificial boundaries like viability and so forth. And really, you know, I know that at least some of these justices, they want to get out of the abortion business altogether. In other words, they want to leave it to the states.
Yeah.
Legislate. You want to protect the babies? Fine. You want to draw a line as to how soon in pregnancy you want to protect the babies? Well, then that's up to the state legislature to draw that line. Now, of course, morally, ethically, we don't have the right to draw any line.
That's
Every
right.
human being has to be protected.
Amen.
But that's not the question before the court. The court is asking constitutionally, you know, what may the states do? And the best outcome would be for them to say, look, we're going to get out of the abortion legislating business. We're going to get out of the referee of being the abortion medical review board or the umpire for every single move that the states take, you know, in regard to abortion. I mean, in regard to what other medical procedure does the court do this?
None.
Okay, abortion has been given this special constitutional status, and the court is now, they have to shuffle around every single time a state has a law that gets challenged. They've got to come in and referee. Now, and here's the ironic thing. Now, Terry and Jesse, you both know, and our audience knows, how the other side likes to say, when we talk pro-life and we talk about protecting these babies, the other side likes to say, oh, but the lawmakers, they shouldn't be getting involved in this. They shouldn't be practicing medicine. There is no medical procedure, if you even want to call it that, that lawmakers are more involved in, or courts are more involved in, than abortion.
Get
out of it altogether.
Exactly. We're talking to Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life. We've got a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about how to protect the unborn lives of thousands of babies. Don't stay with us, family. We'll be right back with Father Frank Pavone. You're listening to The Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
We got Father Frank Pavone on. Let me just give a little bit of good news. Over north of us, Ontario and Quebec,
this is great news.
They're backing down on vaccine mandates for healthcare workers after a massive resistance. So that's just breaking news that the Canadian provinces of Quebec and Ontario have rescinded their vaccine mandates, citing the system's inability to cope with losing unvaccinated employees en masse. That's good news. Tomorrow, for all you Los Angelinos, that's in Terry's backyard.
That's right.
There's going to be a protest at Catholic Loyola Marymount University. They're permitting a fundraiser on campus to benefit Planned Parenthood.
We got to knock that off.
Did you catch that?
Yes.
Catholic Loyola Marymount University in downtown Los Angeles, Jesuit run under Archbishop Jose Gomez, is allowing on November 5th a benefit, a fundraising benefit on campus for Planned Parenthood. If you want to go and peacefully protest and gather on the public sidewalk, it starts tomorrow, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Friday, November 5th. At 6:30 p.m. For more information, go to tfp.org, tfp.org. Terry?
Father Frank, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things you're doing, but there's a good news story about a pro-life nurse in Illinois. She was fired for refusing to cooperate with abortion, so she sued her employer. And the good news, she won the court case, and she's back
working.
And I just I know you've hear these things, but it seems to me, Father Frank, you've been, you know, fighting this fight for a long time. Isn't it encouraging that we're making progress, even on the level of saying that we don't want to fund abortion, I don't want to have anything to do with it? And it seems like some of the courts are agreeing with us, and I think that's, you know, an encouraging sign. Would you agree?
Well, that's right. It is. Well, you know, it's against the law to force somebody like that to violate their conscience or their religious beliefs. We have a number of legal protections on this. The problem is that these laws either are not enforced or courts make erroneous decisions, but the courts have been favoring religious freedom, freedom of conscience in many ways. That was one of the things, by the way, that you know, when Biden met with the Pope recently, of course, a meeting that caused a lot of controversy, the Vatican did say that this matter of freedom of religion and of conscience was discussed. Now, Biden is on the wrong side of that equation. And, you know, he even to the point where he's removing the special Office of Conscience and Religious Freedom that President Trump put in place in his administration.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, hey, I hope he told the Pope about that, because, you know, the Pope has some pretty clear and strong things to say about that. So the freedom of conscience.
Excellent.
You know, the Trump administration actually prosecuted various institutions that were violating the consciences of healthcare workers in regard to this. In fact, even the whole state of California, remember?
Yeah, I do. Was great.
He took them to task for forcing taxpayers to fund abortion. This is a fundamental matter of conscience,
Father,
and it has to be respected.
Father, let me just plug you for what you're doing with Rachel's Vineyard and all the things that you're doing to help women who have, because some women right now are listening to the show. Maybe they've had an abortion 25 years ago. Who knows? But I just want to reach out to people that have had abortions, and you have a lot to offer them. Can you share that with us, please?
Well, we are with you. That's our message to them. And that's the message God gives
that's
us all. We are, he is with us. I am with you. And so we want those that have had abortions to know that we who reject abortion do not reject those who have had abortion. Instead, we reach out with love, with compassion. And we have this beautiful retreat program called Rachel's Vineyard, started by our pastoral associate at Priest for Life, Dr. Teresa Burke, and her husband, Kevin. And we run about 1,000 retreats a year.
Wow.
And this is bringing people to, by the power of the Word of God, the power of the sacraments, and the solid psychological research that Dr. Burke and others have done, helps them to heal from the wound of abortion. And there's not only the group retreats, there's individual one-on-one counseling available. So rachelsvineyard.org is the website. And you know, this is a big part of the Priest for Life ministry, healing, giving the healing, and also spreading the word about the healing, which we need everyone to do. It's always a great, great need.
Let me jump in and say, how can people support you financially? Because I know I do, and I want more of our listeners to do that. Tell us how.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, prolifegift.org is our donation website, and we do rely only on the people, the kind of people that are listening now, and you know, we don't get like Planned Parenthood does these gigantic government grants and whatnot. So prolifegift.org is where they can, how they can do that.
Great.
Father Frank, the Romero household, we also send Priest for Life a year-end check, by the way. Just want to let you know.
It's coming.
Thank you.
At the end of the year.
It's part of our paid taxes. We said, okay, who are we going to give to this year? Every year, Priest for Life comes
up. They're on the list.
Yeah, they're on the list. Father, let me mention,
we appreciate it.
I want to mention something, and I think you'll agree with me on this, is that Joe Biden, he's demonstrated that although he calls himself a Catholic, he's the most anti-Catholic president I've ever seen. Why do I say that? He has issued more than 36 executive orders, many of them directly targeting Catholic Christian moral teaching. Directly.
Yes.
And also, also the Democratic leaders right now in Congress, they've given Biden and Harris a 28-page document. Here are some of the things that they're proposing. They're very anti-Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
Here's one bullet. They want to use the government power to crack down on Catholics who believe in traditional Catholic moral teachings such as pro-life.
Like
second,
us.
Second bullet. They want to remove Catholics from public office. This is a 28-page document that sits on Biden's desk right now. Third bullet. They want to deny free speech and religious liberty to Christians. Fourth bullet. In God we trust. They want to remove it from U.S. currency. Fifth bullet. They want to repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which protects the right of Christians to express and live their Christian faith. And sixth bullet. They want to fully fund comprehensive sex education to include encouraging children as young as elementary school to undergo surgery and hormone treatments to change their gender. This proposition document is sitting on Biden and Harris' desk right now. This is the state of the country under this anti-Catholic president.
Well, you know what, Jesse, let's focus in on one phrase there that you just said, Religious Freedom Restoration Act. People need to understand something. First of all, as the word says, it protects our religious freedom. It was signed by a Democrat president, Bill Clinton. That law was signed by Clinton, and now Biden wants to take it away. He wants to take the protections of it away from, for example, this, various measures that they're trying to ram through, for example, that bill that was passed in the House just recently, expanding abortion. And they don't want to have these freedoms. And also what's threatened is it's threatened by the so-called Equality Act and a number of things that Biden supports. So this is the law that protected ultimately the Little Sisters of the Poor, the Priests for Life, the Archdiocese of Washington, the Diocese of Erie, the Catholic University of America, Thomas Aquinas College, and the list goes on and on of Catholic institutions that we all know about, EWTN and others, that sued in federal court several years ago against the Obama-Biden administration when they tried to force us to provide abortion and contraception in our health care. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act was where we appealed and of the protection that we invoked, which says no citizen should be ever forced to choose between following the law or following his faith. Now, what in the world does Biden have against that? I mean, did he discuss that with the Pope, and say, hey, Holy Father, about all these Catholic religious institutions, we tried to force them to violate their faith. I wonder what the Pope has to say about that. So, this is really, really bad. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's worse than people recognize. And the fact that Catholic leaders aren't shouting from the rooftops about this.
Yeah.
Is equally bad.
Father Frank, I only got a minute left. I want to make a big push for the midterms and how important they are. Because if we actually take some seats back, couldn't we make President Biden's last 2 years like a lame duck? Is that a fair statement?
Exactly. That's precisely what will happen.
We got to do it.
And so I want to urge people to go to prolifevote.com. Prolifevote.com is our website.
Awesome.
That gives we had an election Zoom training call with people from around the country, and we're going to do that every month. And people can sign up at that website and participate with us. ProLifeVote.com.
Father Frank, I think the 2022 midterm congressional elections, it's going to decide whether America is going to survive as the land of the free and home of the brave, or it's going to decide whether this country is destroyed by the radical left for decades to come, right?
Yeah, that's not an exaggeration, because it will either take away from the Democrats, from Biden and the radical Democrats, either take away their ability to implement these policies, or it will give them more ability to do so.
That's how important it is to prepare. I want to encourage people, again, can you give us that website where they can get training for this, Father?
Yes, prolifevote.com. Sign up for the seminars, download all the information that's there. It'll be great.
Thank you, Father Frank, for taking time with us here. Jesse and Terry, we're always honored to have you on our show to inspire us to fall deeper in love with Jesus and to protect the unborn. Thanks so much, Father Frank.
Amen.
Father, give us your priestly blessing.
Your priestly blessing, yep.
All right. May the Lord bless each and every one of you and your families and answer all your prayers and give you his protection, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks again. Until the next time, Father, may God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you. You also.
God love you. Boy, Jesse, when I hear Father Frank speak about the unborn, when I hear him speak about all the work they're doing to preserve life, I just got to think, man, we need more priests like Father Frank, don't we?
That is one brave priest, Harry. Let me tell you, he's going to have a special place on the other side because when he goes to his exit interview, he's going to have the millions of babies that were souls that are going to scream for his justification and salvation.
Amen. Thanks again, Father Frank Pavone. Hope you enjoyed the show, folks. Tomorrow, I'm going to have our own Barbara McWiggin, who's coming up with a new show here, Fight the Good Fight, here on Virgin Most Powerful. You won't want to miss it tomorrow. Just my final question, what state should we be living in, brother?
Every Catholic should live in the state of grace, no other. Make sure you got your passport to the state of grace. It's called the sacraments. And do not live in the state of mortal sin. Get the H-E-L-L out of there.
All right, up next, Dr. Sandoval's show. You won't want to miss that on Virgin Most Powerful. Go to our website, vmpr.org. Download the free app and listen to Solid Catholic Radio. God love you and your family.